Colossians chapter number 3, if you will. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The Bible says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," if you're born again, in other words, "if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." I want us to think about that first verse where it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." It talks about Christ being our life. This morning, I've given a simple title to our message this morning. Would you care to upgrade? Would you care to upgrade? We're commanded here to seek those things which are above if we're risen with Christ. We are told that Christ is our life. We're going to turn here in a few moments over to the book of Psalms and the 119th Psalm in a moment. We're going to look at several verses. But this morning I want to ask you a simple question. Would you care to upgrade? Think about where you are in your Christian life. Think about where you are in your walk with God. Would you care to upgrade? I have a few words to say about that before we begin. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have our special, and then I'll give my introduction. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do ask that You'd bless the time that we have. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to stand once again in Your pulpit. Lord, I thank You for the Word of God that I can sound forth, dear Lord, without having a hesitant bone in my body as to this being the Word of God. Lord, I'm grateful that we have the Bible. I'm grateful that we have the Scripture that we can say, "Thus saith the Lord." And this morning, I pray You'd be with us. Lord, I pray that perhaps, Lord, there is one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. As always, Lord, my request before You, would You please convict that soul? Would You convict that heart? Would You allow that person to realize their need for true, genuine being a child of God, being born again? And dear Lord, for those who know Christ as their Savior, perhaps, Lord, they're living beneath their privilege. Perhaps, Lord, they need to upgrade their life. Lord, I pray that we would see it in a simple, simple form, dear Lord, a simple statement that You make in the Psalms. Bless the time that we have. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And you may be seated. It seems that everywhere you go these days, people are requesting or asking if you want to upgrade, thinking especially, of course, after having just come back from a several-day trip out to California. They ask all different types of questions. You can begin, of course, with the airline. Now, I've never been asked to upgrade in an airline. I don't fly the kind of airlines that have first class generally. And even when I have before, I've never been asked if I would like to upgrade. And I'm glad, because I wouldn't want to pay that difference. Some of you may have been fortunate enough that they moved you immediately up to first class, and you got to sit up there closer to the front, and you got to be catered to, and that's wonderful. But I've never had that. But I think about different things. When I landed out there, let me take you back two years ago, one of the times that I'd flown out to the conference, and I was standing behind the counter of the car rental, and I wasn't even there yet, and the man that was standing over here renting a car, he was right before me in line. The man behind the counter began to ask him if he would like to upgrade to a Mustang. And boy, that caught my attention. I've always loved Mustangs. And I thought to myself, man, that'd be something else. That'd be great to drive a Mustang. And the man said, well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I would. What's it going to cost? And he said, well, it's going to cost such and such to upgrade that. And the man said, you know what? No, I don't think I'll do that. And he said, are you sure? And he goes, no, I don't want to. And so then this man here behind the counter, he called me up. And I said, I'm here to get my reservation. Gave him my name, gave him the numbers. And he began working on it. He said, well, listen, would you like to upgrade to a Mustang? And I thought, oh, I knew he was going to ask me. And I said, no, to be honest, I already heard over here, I don't want to pay the difference in price. No, thank you, I appreciate it, but no thanks. By the way, my wife had found an unbelievable deal to rent a car for $9 a day for that entire week. You don't find that anywhere, $9 a day. I said, no, I don't want it, thank you very much, though. And he said, you know what? Nah, no cost, no difference. Like, are you sure? He said, yeah, absolutely. Man, I had the greatest. Now, it was a lime green Mustang. It was a brand new Mustang. Boy, it was bright. Man, I had so much fun with that. This past week, I went out there and I said, man, I'd like to upgrade to a Mustang. I was asking now. And they said, well, here's how much it's going to cost you. I said, okay, I can't do that. No, thank you. I better not do that. So But you go to a hotel. You go to the hotel, and maybe they want to upgrade you in a hotel. This past, beginning of March, or when was it? Right there, when Brother Davis was here, and I had booked an appointment or a hotel for him right down here, right off of 526 and Savannah Highway, and I said, listen, give me a queen bed. He and his wife were going to be coming down. I said, give me a queen bed, because they asked me, do you want two queen? Or I'm sorry. Give me a king. They said, do you want two queens or do you want a king? I said, just one king. They're coming down as a husband and wife. And so they said, fine, made my reservation. When I got down there, because I usually go in and I check them in before they even make their way here so that I can put something in their room. We'll give them a fruit basket or I'll write them a letter or a card or something like that, and we'll put it in their room. And when I got there, the lady behind the desk said, "We chose to upgrade you to a suite." Now, it wasn't for me. It was for Brother Davis and his wife. And I said, wow, really? She said, yes, it's a wonderful suite. It's got a separate room over here and a couch and a table. I said, man, wonderful. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And so as I went up there, I walked in the room and I was like, man, this is nice. And all of a sudden I looked and I saw, wait a minute, there are two queen beds here. I had asked for a king. So I had to go back down. I had to downgrade Brother Davis back down to a king bed. But these upgrades that they tell us about, upgrades usually now, upgrades are usually in my best interest. You may say, well, not necessarily so, because it's going to cost you something. That's true. That's my second statement that I need you to understand. Upgrades are generally going to be for my best interest, but they're almost always going to cost me something. Seldom are you going to go behind see that man behind the desk say, we'll upgrade you to a sports car and it won't cost you a dime more. That generally isn't going to happen. Usually it's going to cost you something. But I want to see in our Christian life, we can view it the same way. Upgrades are available. Upgrades are available. But it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost all of us something. When we look at the Bible, we see differing opinions about the choice to upgrade. I think about David in the Bible, the king of Israel. He chose to upgrade. He had made a choice, a devastating choice in his life. The sin that he had had with Bathsheba. Now, obviously, by this point, he had been upgraded by God from the point of a lowly shepherd boy to now the king of the nation, to the king of Israel. But he had made a horrible choice in his life. But he did not stay there. He realized his condition before God. He begged God for forgiveness and praised the Lord. God upgraded his life. It was a choice that David made. David chose to upgrade. However, Saul didn't. He chose not to take the upgrade. Saul was at one time the king, the first king of Israel. When the nation said, we want a king, dear Lord. We don't want judges any longer. We want a king to rule over us as all of the nations round about us. And Saul was chosen to be the first king. But Saul chose not to upgrade his life. I think of others. I think of Moses in the Bible. Moses chose to upgrade. Here Moses was raised in the house of the Pharaoh and the daughter of the Pharaoh. And he would have had anything that he wanted. Everything at his fingertips. But he chose to upgrade. It cost him something. By the way, it also cost David something to upgrade. But it cost Moses. He could have had all of the splendor of the palace, but yet he said, no, I choose to upgrade my life. I want to follow God. We read in the book of Numbers about a man that was following under the leadership of Moses. We read about a man named Korah. Korah chose not to upgrade in his life, if you will. Korah was the one that stood toe-to-toe with Moses and said, ye take too much upon you. We are godly just as you are. Why do you make all of the choices, all of the decisions for us people? And Moses said, well, why don't we pray about this? Spent the night before the Lord on his face, saying, dear Lord God, would you deal with this? You've chosen me. I believe you've chosen me. But dear God, would you make it very clear and very plain? And the next day, God parted the earth and allowed Korah and all those that followed him to be swallowed up. Korah chose not to upgrade. I think about the New Testament, Paul. Paul chose to upgrade. Paul, when we meet him, is named Saul. And Saul was on the road to Damascus to enslave those who were born again, those who called themselves Christians. But he chose to upgrade his life when he met the Savior. Boy, praise the Lord for that point of conversion. Thank the Lord for His salvation. And thank the Lord that He chose to upgrade His life. But yet, when we look through the rest of the New Testament, we read about a man named Demas, that even though he was used of God at one point, he decided not to upgrade his life. And the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. I think about Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew, here we have this man who was a tax collector, the man that no one wanted to see coming his way. But when he met Jesus Christ, he upgraded his life. He was no longer known as that tax collector. Now he was known as the man that was used by God. He was known as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Unbelievable the upgrade that he was able to take. But yet at the same time, we read about the man named Judas Iscariot that even though he was also an apostle, chosen by God, he did not upgrade his life. I understand I'm using a term that is unfamiliar in Scripture as far as upgrading your life, but we see there in Colossians, we see in that first verse that it speaks to that end. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles. Go over to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, there are so many verses here that lend themselves perfectly to an outline. And today I'm going to choose 8 of these verses. Generally, I do not have a message that is so lengthy as far as outline is concerned. I'm going to do my best to get through it as quickly as I can. But I want you to look here at verse number 57. In Psalm 119, verse number 57, the Bible says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. If you're going to take notes, I would ask you, now we've got 8 things we're going to write down today. The first of which I'll ask you to write down, upgrade to a better portion. Upgrade to a better portion. As we read over there in Colossians, where it says, Christ who is our life. You see, Christ should be my life. Christ should be everything to me. Christ should not just be something that I hold in high regard on Sunday morning, perhaps on Sunday night, maybe on a Sunday evening, and very seldom, but possibly on a Wednesday night or even on a Saturday morning. You see, if Christ is my life, He is going to be held in high regard every single day, every decision I make, every plan that I set forth, every vacation that I take. Every vacation that I take. You say, well, Pastor, do you think we should never be gone? No, I'm not saying that. I know that there are going to be times where you are gone. But I think that when we are gone, we could take a look at, find a church that would be in the area where we're going, and we could be in the house of God. Amen. As a born-again believer, I am adamant to the preaching and the teaching of that Bible in God's house. So if Christ is my life, as it says here, Thou art my portion, O Lord. You are my portion. I need to upgrade to a better portion. There is no better portion in all of life to have than the Lord as my portion. I believe that David, as he went through his life, he realized that. As he decided to upgrade, as he is now penning the Psalms here, 119, he realizes what he once was. He realizes all that he didn't have. And he says, Lord, You are my portion. He chose to upgrade that portion. He chose on purpose to have the Lord as the integral part of his life. When we have Him, when we have Jesus Christ as that center of our life, we see and understand that when Jesus says He is the vine, you and I are the branches. When we have Christ as the center of our life, we realize that He really is the shepherd and we really are the sheep. When we have Christ as our portion, we understand in Jeremiah where it says that He is the potter and I am the clay. You see, when I am the vine, or when He is the vine and I am the branches, He can prune me however He feels fit. However he sees fit in my life, he can prune off the branches out of that vine and get off the dead, purge off the decaying. He can take care of me as the branch off of him as the vine. When I am the sheep and he is the shepherd, he knows that he can tend to me. He can take care of me. He can watch after me and give me caution for where I shouldn't go. I understand that when he is the potter and I am the clay, he can break me down as much as he sees fit and mold me back to be used by him. When Christ is my life, I have just upgraded to a better portion. Oh, would we care to upgrade this morning? Would we care to upgrade our life to a better portion? We saw there when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. There's no better place to be in all of life than to have Jesus Christ as our portion. Perhaps today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Perhaps today you would say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I had an opportunity yesterday to take a gospel and show a man how he could be born again. He chose, however, not to be a participant. He chose to ignore what it was that was being taught. He chose to say, I don't want to. He didn't say it in these particular words. But he chose not to upgrade his portion in life. Not to say there's got to be more for me than what I already have. There's got to be more for me than just trying my best to live that good life. Oh, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, what is it that would stop you? What is it that would prohibit you from saying, I need to know Christ. I need to be born again. But this morning, if you are a born-again believer, if you say, I know Christ is my Savior, what is it that's going to stop you from saying, listen, I need to rush to that altar and I need to say, dear Lord, I want you to be my portion. I want you to be my everything. I want all of my life to be to give you glory and honor. You don't have to surrender to the full-time service of the Lord. You don't have to become a pastor. You don't have to become a missionary. You don't have to marry a pastor or a missionary. You don't have to be the one that everyone is going to look to as you hold the Word of God and you sound it forth. But you can say, Lord, I want you to be my portion. What is it that stops us? Well, I would say a lot of it is pride. Just the same pride that stopped us before we got saved. We didn't want to come to Christ because we thought so much of ourselves. Now we don't want the Lord to be captain of our life. We don't want to become the portion, Him to be our portion, because we think so much of ourselves. We think so much of our lives. Oh, if Jesus were my portion, listen, if Jesus is my portion, I will love the Bible. If you look there at verse number 57 again, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. If the Lord is my portion, I will love the Bible. The second thing I want you to write down, let's upgrade to a better pardon. Upgrade to a better pardon. Look at verse number 58. I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to Thy word. Oh, where it says, be merciful unto me. I am thankful that we have His mercy. I am thankful that we have His grace. And I have been granted such a wonderful pardon. I've been given a pardon that I don't deserve. Well, I thank the Lord for that. You think about the individual that might be in prison, and maybe they've been exonerated from their crime. Maybe it's been found out that they are no longer the one that is guilty as once was believed. They had been put into prison on false pretense, and now the real evidence has been brought forth, and that individual is released. They are pardoned from prison for a crime that they did not commit. But I'm not that individual. I committed the crime. I was the one who was the sinner. I was the one who was guilty. I was the one who was undone. I was the one who was lost. I was the one who was guilty. And I have been pardoned. Oh, I'm thankful for the pardon that God gave to me, even though I was lost, even though I was guilty. Even though I was the root, the cause of his crucifixion, He pardoned me anyway. oh, again, I run back to the safety of knowing Christ as my Savior. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, dear friend, you are living beneath your privilege. This man that I spoke to on the plane this past week, as we began talking about about being born again, and he gave me the testimony of salvation. He's a professor in a secular college. It's not a Bible college that he teaches at. Even though, as I said in Sunday school, he holds two masters and a doctrine of divinity. He teaches in a secular college. He told me, he says, I'm praying about going, I've been offered another job at another college. If I told you what it was, you would be very familiar with it. It's a very prestigious Ivy League college. It's not, at one point it turned out preachers, but now it's not that way at all. Now it's just a secular college, and all of the dregs of society can be found there, just as it most any other secular college could. He said, I'm considering going to this particular college and being a professor there. But he made the statement to me. He said, when I teach my class, he said, I give the plan of salvation. He used these words. He said, I use the Romans Road. I go through the Romans Road. I'm thinking to myself, am I sitting beside an independent Baptist here? No, I wasn't. But a man that knew Christ as his Savior knew how to tell people how to go to heaven, even though he didn't think that everyone had the opportunity to go. See, it's a paradox. Here I've got a man that doesn't think anyone has a real choice in the matter. Irresistible grace, he called it. That you would not be able to resist God's grace if He's calling you. Well, I believe that you can look God straight in the face and say, I don't want to trust Christ as my Savior. I'm fine on my own. But this man, he said, sometimes the students, when I go through the plan of salvation, and he called it the plan of salvation, when I give them the gospel, when I take them down the Romans Road, they look at me and they say, well, that's not a very loving God. He doesn't care about my opinion. And he says, I look at them and I say, oh, no. God cares about your opinion completely. In fact, so much so that He'll send you to hell if that's what you choose. I'm thinking to myself, if that's what they choose. But you just told me. I didn't get into a huge argument with him. He just told me they couldn't choose. But he made the statement, God will send you to hell. He respects your opinion so much that if you choose to ignore Him and resist His grace, He'll send you to hell. Folks, that's how it is. Oh, would we upgrade to a better pardon? Why would we choose on purpose to remain condemned? Why would we choose that on purpose? To remain condemned, to remain destined for an eternity in hell, which God cannot alter. He cannot change the pages of Scripture. He cannot say, well, you tried real hard. For you, I'll make an exception. There will be no exception. Oh, would we upgrade to a better pardon? When we look at verse number 58 there, it says, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. If Jesus is my portion, I will crave His favor. If Jesus is my portion, I will crave the favor of God. The third thing I'm going to ask you to write down, we're going to go through all of these verses, 57 down through 64. In verse number 59, we read, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Let's write this down. Number three, upgrade to a better plan. Upgrade to a better plan. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now remember how we have seen before. Psalm 119 is a very interesting psalm. Nearly every psalm, I personally can only account for six verses that do not use one of the words that give very clear evidence that it's talking about the Word of God. In 59 it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. See, that's the better plan, the Word of God. Thy testimonies. That's talking about the Bible itself. That's a better plan. Oh, listen, I thought on my ways. I sat down and I considered where I was headed. I considered what my life was all about. I'm born again, dear Lord. I know Christ is my Savior, but I thought on my ways and I realized I need to upgrade. I need not to just upgrade my portion and my pardon. I need to upgrade my plan. Oh, I need to upgrade the plan that God has for my life. God has a far better plan for my life than I could ever orchestrate. God has a far, far better plan than I could ever devise. He has a far better plan than I could ever spend enough time in college for. Oh, I went to college and got a bachelor's degree, a bachelor's of science in computer programming, and I wanted to spend the rest of my life, I thought at one point, programming and working with computers. How in the world could I think that? I don't know. I hate those things now. Everything I can do to use them just grates against me, it seems. But oh, I love the Lord, and I love the plan that He has for my life. I thank God the day that He convicted my heart as my wife and I sat there in that empty room at the wilds of the Rockies, and God worked on my heart and telling me, I want you to be used by me. I've got a plan for your life. But I have a plan for my life, Lord. I have a plan for mine. Don't burden me with your plan. Lord, I've got one. Oh, but would you upgrade? Would you upgrade to His plan? You see, it's different to upgrade when you see no value in it. Oh, but what great value we have when we find the plan that God has for our life. What great value there is. We see this here. If I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies, if Jesus is my portion, I will be careful in my decisions. I thought on my ways. I thought about the direction that I'm headed. Folks, if Jesus is my portion, then I will be careful in all of my decisions. Number four, we'll look at verse number 60. He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Upgrade, if you will, upgrade to a better performance. Upgrade to a better performance. We've seen the plan that God has. We've looked at the portion and the pardon that He has for us. We see that He has a plan for our lives. But now I can see that there's more potential in my performance. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Again, talking about the very Word of God. My performance. Let me ask you, how is your performance? How has your performance been lately? How well have you been serving God? How well have you been making decisions that would take you down the path that you could serve God to the fullest? Now, we can think of all of the different ways, and I enumerate them quite often in church, all the ways that you could serve the Lord, whether it be from someone that helps to with the cleaning, or whether it be someone that helps with the outside, or whether it be someone that helps when we say, hey, listen, we've got a painting project, we need all hands on deck, we're going to paint this area, we're going to paint that area, we're going to, one of these days when God allows us, we're going to rip up all this carpet. I have someone who keeps asking me, Pastor, when are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? I don't want to miss it. I'm like, man, praise the Lord, I don't want you to miss it either. I don't want any of you to miss it. Man, pulling up the carpet and getting this all prepared and ready for a new carpet one day and working on this. Maybe it's the fellowship that we're going to have in however long it's going to be. And you can be involved in that. You can say, well, listen, I can do this or I can do that, or I can set up tables or I can tear down tables or I can clean up the kitchen. What is the area? What is the performance? What area of performance is God working on your heart to upgrade? Psalm 55, verse number 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You think about performance of a sports car. Maybe you don't have a sports car, but you drive it like a sports car. And it doesn't quite have the zip that you think it should have. It's not performing quite like what you believe it should. So what do? You call up and you run down to the mechanic and say, something's going on with my vehicle. It's not running quite like it should. In other words, it won't start. I can't get it to turn over. I need to take it down to the mechanic. It's missing. I've got a 6-cylinder. It's missing on 4 cylinders. I'm only running on 2 cylinders. Hey, a horrible performance. Will you help me out? Well, I wonder about our life. I use it kind of as a funny example with a sports car running down to the mechanic. But what about our life? I wonder how many of us are hitting on only 2 cylinders. I wonder how many of us have so much more potential, so much more performance, that if we were to go to God as a mechanic and say, all right, Lord, performance in my life has been miserable. At one point, it ran well. Can you think back in your life at a point where you were closer to the Lord than you are now? Can you think back to a point in your life where you were serving God more than you are now? If you can point to such a date, then may I remind you politely that you're backslidden. If there was a point in your life where you served God more than you do now, you're backslidden. If there's a point in my life where I was closer to God than I am now, I'm backslidden. Oh, the performance that we would seek to have. If Jesus is my portion, in verse number 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. If Jesus is my portion, I will never hesitate to obey. I made haste. If Jesus is my portion, I will never hesitate to obey. I will perform immediately. You want that performance out of that engine, underneath of that foot pedal, underneath that gas. But as soon as you press that gas pedal, you want to see the performance. You want to see that car lurch forward. That's the performance you're looking for. Well, if Jesus is my portion, then I will never hesitate to obey. We'll look at number 5. Look here in verse number 61. In verse number 61, the Bible says, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." Upgrade. Write this down. Upgrade to a better protection. Upgrade to a better protection. You see, the hands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Oh, the protection that we need from the hand of God. I am thankful for the protection that He has, that He gives. But you know, it might just be that there is someone that you say, "Man, Pastor, I've really gone through some difficult times in my life." Then may I question you as to how has your performance, how has your plan? Are you still living your life the way you believe you should? Is your plan still the one that's being enacted, or have you given yourself over to the Lord? You see, what I'm saying is sometimes God has to get our attention. Occasionally, God has to get our attention. And occasionally, He will allow something. You look at the Old Testament especially. Well, you look at the book of Judges. And time after time, 13 times to be honest, they did that which was right in their own eyes. And so God said, "All right, then I'm going to let the captivity come. I will let," as it says here, as it says, "the bands of the wicked have robbed me." All right, then I'll let wickedness befall you. You don't want to live for me. You don't want to have your life. You've already been told what's right. It's not a matter of you not knowing what God wants you to do. It's not a matter of me not knowing what God wants. It's a matter of me being willing to do what God's already told me. It's a matter of the willingness of the heart. Am I going to allow God to use me so we can upgrade to a better protection? How? I have not forgotten thy law. I think back of Psalm 23, Brother Quinn on Wednesday night had you in Psalm 23. Verse number 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Oh, the protection that God gives to His sheep. The protection that He gives to those who are His. Oh, would we upgrade to a better protection? We look at the verse number 61, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me." You see, if Jesus is my portion, I will find strength in trials because I know that I'm not going to escape them. I know that I will never escape the trials of life. I know that even though the protecting hand of God is upon me, the trials are still going to be there. So I will find strength during those times. The sixth I want you to write down is found in verse number 62. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Upgrade to a better pattern for your life. At midnight I will rise to give thee thanks. We're looking here. We're looking at a pattern of a life now. We're looking at a choice to have a pattern of life at midnight. Maybe it's not at midnight you're going to rise to give thanks, but maybe there's a time where you can say, "I will set this particular time of day. I will set this particular..." Oh, Lord willing, it's more than just one time a year. More than just that Thanksgiving day. That we rise and we say, "Lord, dear God, I'm going to give You thanks for all that You've given to me. I'm going to give You thanks." On last Sunday night, before I left out for the conference, I preached the high cost of anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and of giving of thanks. And I made the statement, perhaps your anxiety is because you're not thankful enough for what God has allowed you to have. At midnight, I will rise and give thee thanks because of thy righteous judgments. How about we upgrade to a better pattern? What is the pattern of our life? Do we have a pattern for our Christian life? More than likely, if you're employed, you have a pattern of life. Your employer expects you to be there at such and such time, so you show up at that time. Your employer asks you to work so many hours in the day, and so you work that many hours in the day. They've set a pattern for your life. They've chosen it. Maybe you say, well, I'm self-employed. You still have an employer. It's called yourself. And if you're going to be an effective business, you're going to set a pattern for your life. You're going to decide, hey, this is where I need to be at this particular time. I need to be at work now. I need to be getting parts here. I need to be making decisions here. And so you have a pattern for your life. How about your Christian walk with Christ? How about that life that is far more important than the 70 years that you'll spend here? How about that life that we have that is hidden in Christ Jesus? What is our pattern? How often do we choose to disregard a pattern for our life with our Heavenly Father? How routine are we in what we do for God? I'm not talking just mechanical routine of, well, I do it because I'm supposed to, but rather a routine of saying, dear Lord, here's a time where I'm going to spend with You. Here's a time where I'm going to serve You. Here's a time where I'm going to fellowship with You. Here's a time where I'm going to worship and honor You. Here's a time where I'll be in church and I'll be learning of You. Here's a time where I'll take the Bible and I'll teach others of You. What is our pattern for life? What is our pattern for God? Boy, can I encourage you to upgrade to a better pattern. You see, in 62 it says, I will rise and give thanks unto thee. If Jesus is my portion, then I will be a thankful Christian. If Jesus is my portion, I will be thankful. Number 7 is found in verse number 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. If you write down, you notice, write down this, upgrade to a better people. Oh, upgrade to a better people. I wonder how many have such difficult times in their Christian life because they continue to associate themselves with the wrong people. You see, at church here, we have many opportunities, and Lord willing, we'll have more even than we have scheduled this year. But we have opportunities. We give opportunity for fellowship. You know, it breaks my heart as your pastor. I don't get upset. I'm certainly never going to chastise you. Perhaps I might question you. I might stop you and say, why won't you stay? Oh, would you stay for the fellowship? Would you stay for the food? You say, I don't like the food. I'll say, I don't either. But I'm going to stay. I don't like what you made. It's all right. I don't like what I make. Doesn't matter. Let's stay for the fellowship. You say, well, I don't like you. I'll say, well, I don't like you either, but stay for the fellowship anyway. Maybe there's someone here that you do like. So you won't talk to me, that's okay, I won't talk to you. No, but let's have that wonderful, upgrade to a better people. Man, we spend so much time at work, we spend so much time around those people that they don't love the Lord. Maybe you have a work environment that they do, and man, I would say thank God for that. But most of us don't, well, of us, most of you don't. I'm not saying that about those that I might work around here around the church, all right? But when I was in that business world, I worked around so many people that couldn't care less about God, couldn't care less about my Savior, couldn't care less about profaning His holy name. Spend time around. Let's choose. Let's upgrade to a better people. Let's make our fellowship, those of the church, let's see a church come together in love and truly encouraging one another. But you can't do it if you're not here. You'll not find that fellowship if you're not here. You'll not find that love if you're not here. You'll not find that camaraderie if you're not here. Oh, can I encourage you to be at the house of God? Can I encourage you to take part in it? It breaks my heart every time when I say amen. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. When I say, all right, we're dismissed, I fire out of that door. I run. I get a quick drink at the drinking fountain. I throw a mint or two in my mouth and chomp on those real quick so I don't knock anyone over at the door. And I rush to the door, and half the time, the door's already closing. Somebody's already on their way out to the car. Man, can I encourage you? Stay around for a bit. Stay around for a bit. Well, I don't know anyone. Because you're always gone. Because you always leave. I don't know what to say. I don't either. I promise you, I know all what to say here behind this pulpit. But when I get out there, I'm like, I don't know what to say to you people. I feel tongue-tied. I feel confused. Half the time you tell me something and I act like it's the first time I've ever heard it. And you say, well, I told you before. I'm sorry. I can't keep it in my brain. Half of these things we talk about and I forget. I'm sorry, but I'm going to stay around because I want to fellowship. I want to upgrade to a better people. Man, I'm laying my heart out before you again. But oh, I love you. I love our church family. I love our church people. Well, let's upgrade. Let's upgrade to a better people. We look at verse 63. It says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. If Jesus is my portion, I will choose good friends. Number 8, and we'll be finished. Look at verse number 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. If you're writing down notes, write down, upgrade to a better provision. Upgrade to a better provision. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. You look at this harsh, harsh world. If I were the evolutionist that the majority of our country is, I would think to myself, how could such an inhospitable world provide such wonderful nourishment? If we were just to think about food itself, hostile world. It was close. How could such a hostile world provide such wonderful nutrition? How could such a hostile world produce the plants and the animals that God uses to provide for us? You see, oh, that we would think about this. If we would realize now God's talking about His mercy. Oh, the mercy of God. You see, the mercy of God is not getting what I deserve. The grace of God is getting what I don't deserve. In salvation, I get both God's grace and His mercy. I get heaven, and I don't deserve it. I deserve hell, but praise God, I don't get it. You see, there is so much mercy. There is so much mercy. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. The provision that God gives to us, would we realize it? Would we just recognize the mercy that God has for us? Would we upgrade to a better provision? Would we realize, oftentimes we grumble and we complain, and I'll promise you this, I'm the chief of sinners when it comes to that. I find myself so often complaining about this or grumbling about that. I may not announce it to you all, but inside I'm thinking to myself, well, grumble, grumble, complain, complain, and I thank God that He smacks me upside the head. And He helps me to realize that it's because of His mercy that I have what I have. Amen. It's because of His mercy that I have salvation. It's because of His mercy that He allows me to step into this pulpit and to teach a Bible, to take a people in following God. It's because of His provision, His mercy. If Jesus is my portion, according to verse number 64, where it says, the earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes. If Jesus is my portion, I will never have enough of Jesus. If Jesus is my portion, I will never have enough of Him. Oh, would you upgrade your life? Would you look at God and when you say, Lord, there are so many things in my life that I have not given you thanks for. There are so many choices in my life that I've made that have been so contrary to Your Word. Folks, I want this to be an encouraging message here this morning. Oh, would we be encouraged to see God standing, the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father, as He did with those Israelites, as Stephen was preaching unto them. He was standing at the right hand as Stephen looked up into heaven. He says, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand. Oh, He was standing. He was saying, is today the day? Is today the day? Is today the day that they will receive Me as the Messiah? But no, they ran upon Stephen. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. They stoned him to death because he preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This morning, the same Jesus Christ is asking and begging for you to upgrade your life. Why live in the despair that we live in? Why would we continue to live there where God has already said, oh, it might cost us. It might cost us the fun. It might cost us our friends. It might cost us a few choices of separation. But they're always in My best interest. It's always in My best interest. The one that would want to upgrade my seat on the airline is wanting to do so because they know it would be in my best interest. The one who is wanting me to upgrade my hotel room would be doing so because it's in my best interest. This morning, it is in our best interest if we will follow God and we will say, I'll look at these. I'll upgrade my portion. I'll upgrade my pardon, my plan, my performance, my protection, my pattern, my people, and my provision. If we'll upgrade, God will gladly give us those upgrades. But it's going to be our choice. Oh, would you so choose? Would you choose to upgrade? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do want to thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for the passages of the Bible that just lend themselves so perfectly to an outline. Lord, so perfectly to a study. Dear God, so perfectly they lend themselves to the preaching of Your Word. Dear God, I pray this morning that You would use this. Lord, I pray that You would help us to see how much You care about us. Lord, as our shepherd, You want so much for us. Dear God, You want our lives to be so much the better. I pray that we would choose so. I pray that that would be, Lord, our desire as well. This morning, with your heads bowed, all your eyes are closed, can I ask you the simple question of your salvation? Can I ask you about your eternity? If this morning you say, Pastor Sears, I remember the day that I was saved. I have no doubt about it. I know I'm born again. Would you slip your hand up all across the auditorium? Everyone, everywhere. If you say, I know I'm saved. Keep it up. Keep it up for just a moment. Let me look. Just let me glance. I know I'm saved. I have no question about it. I thank you for that. You can put your hands down. There were some that didn't raise their hand. Maybe you didn't hear the question. But I believe that very likely you did. Would you care to upgrade today? Why would you choose to live in a state of condemnation when you know how easy it is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, well, I'm not old enough. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're at the point where you can understand what Jesus Christ did for you, that you're a sinner and He died for your sin, and you can trust Him as your personal Savior. You say, well, I'm not smart enough. It doesn't take a great deal of intelligence to understand what Jesus Christ did, the fact that you're a Savior on your way to hell, or you're a sinner on your way to hell. And Jesus Christ, as the Savior, died for your sin. You say, well, I'm not rich enough. Oh, I'm glad it doesn't have anything to do with my wealth. All it has to do with is, are you willing? Are you willing to allow someone to take a Bible and show you? You say, well, I'm embarrassed. That's the pride that will send you to hell. That's the pride that will stand in your way. Because you're embarrassed. One day you'll be embarrassed before God Almighty. And He'll usher you to the edge of eternity and He'll cast you into the lake of fire. He'll say, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. I'm talking to you. Perhaps you did not raise your hand this morning, but you know you need to. Why would you wait another day? Why would you hesitate? Oh, would you let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved? Stand, if you would, to your feet. The piano will begin to play. Maybe that's you today. You need to say, I must be saved. What must I do to be saved? Perhaps this morning you need to upgrade your life. Perhaps you need to use this old-fashioned altar. You say, I can make a decision in my seat. I understand. But there's something about you coming to an old-fashioned altar and making a decision for God. What would stop you this morning from saying, I need to make that decision? I need to change some things in my life. Oh, would you come this morning as she plays? You come.